In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my guest, Juana Michaels. Juana was telling us yesterday about her marriage, how she married this wonderful man, and they were just so happy, and they had a first year together. And gradually things began to fall apart, didn't they, Juana?
Yes, they did.
I mean, they really fell apart, and you moved out.
Yes.
And you dated a little bit, and your husband found somebody else that he was interested in, and I think most counselors would have said, forget about it. You know, what you need is a divorce, and the sooner the better. What happened?
Well, a lot has transpired since then. I was just thinking, now we are not even the same people that we were 10 years ago. So a tremendous amount has happened. I really believe that the change began in me, and I realized that I needed to change and got into God's Word and began to learn God's principles for the first time. I had never knew what God's Word had to say to women. The First Peter passage has been so dear to me, and maybe I can just take a minute here and read that says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives." And it goes on to talk about the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. I am not that way, was not born that way, and
don't you have Mexican background?
I do.
I dare say you're a little
hot.
Fiery.
Yes. And I had so much to learn in this area. But when we got back together, it was so slow. It was so slow. I just wanted to be married back in every way possible. And now I had a chance. So I felt that God had given, and He did. He had given me a second chance. Second chance by becoming a Christian, by being born again with Him, and now a second chance at this marriage. So I was ecstatic about that. Little did I know it was going to be inch by inch. I remember at one point, all the communication we had one day was I had made the coffee for him and he had drank it. So I knew he had received that gesture. It was slow. He didn't wear his wedding ring for the first couple of months. Eventually, the ring went back on. He was having to trust me again. He had been hurt by me tremendously. And he needed to know, was Juana on a tangent? That was one of the reasons why it took 2 years for us to get back together, because my personality, I had been on tangents before. How did he know this thing wasn't going to last? And certainly my love for him had not proven that it lasted. But now I knew what those vows meant. They were so dear to me. And I was just eager to jump at the chance to really serve this man and be, quote unquote, the submissive wife. But it was very hard. It was slow. And it's been a long time since then. And I'm just delighted to say that my husband, as I said yesterday, went on to become a Christian. He's now the spiritual leader of our home. He leads our family in devotions. He leads our family in decisions. And I love taking the back seat.
When you got back together, Juana, did he come to you? Or did you go to him?
He sought me back out. In fact, I didn't even call him unless he had contacted me. And I was reading some old journals last night. I had forgotten that at one point he contacted me and said, "Well, what have you been doing?" Because it had been weeks. And I did not call him unless he contacted me. So it was back to, he knew where I was and he knew that I wanted the marriage. But by the way, I think it's really important not to talk to other people about your husband, to gossip about it. People may say, "Well, I saw him at so-and-so," or this and that. I closed my ears to that, and I was busy learning what God had for. What was God teaching me? What did God want me to learn through this?
So did you go back to him?
Yes. When he had that minor surgery and he wanted us to go home together, we did. Actually, at that point, I was in our house, and he came home there. And it's been over 10 years.
When you say that you're not the same people that you were back then, how would you describe what you were and what you are?
I was the most anxious person I knew. I was a time bomb. Just, I think of Mary and Martha, and I would have been Martha. And just anxious about everything. And it is still my nature to be very anxious. And it takes God's working in my life to rest in Him, to do what I need Him to do, self-discipline, to get up and have time with the Lord. These are things, by the way, that I have learned tremendously through Gateway to Joy as well.
Well, to God be the glory if you learn anything from Gateway to Joy. I'm just so awed and humbled when I realize that some of my listeners actually get the message and they do something about it. To me, that's one of the most amazing things, that somebody actually does something. I get lots of wonderful letters from people telling me that they love my program, and I'm thankful for that. But I always want to know, do you do anything about it? And I wanted to have you here, Juana, because you're one who really did something about it. Now, I do want you to tell a little story about the bathroom floor.
The hair on the bathroom floor story. I have dark hair, as you know, and we have a white tiled bathroom. And my husband for years had been asking me to get the hair off the bathroom floor. Now, he's not a neatnik. He's just normal, would like things, normal sense of order. He's the type that he'll hang it up so it won't get wrinkles in it. And I'm the type that I'm going to have to iron it because I threw it in the corner. But I was listening in 1992 to Gateway to Joy, and you were speaking on the fruits of the Spirit. And God pierced my heart, and I realized that although I had been a Christian for 6 years and growing in tremendous ways, there was so much that I did not know. And isn't that the way it is? We realize so much that we don't know. And in this case, it was self-discipline. And the first thing that I needed to do was to get that hair off the bathroom floor that my husband had been asking me. So I wrote you and told you, and you had suggested that I go and get a dry mop. Well, I didn't know what a dry mop was. I went to the store and had to ask them to show me one.
Well, my suggestion, Juana, was that you don't need to drag out the vacuum cleaner.
That's
that
right.
was what you were telling me. Well, I just hate to get the vacuum cleaner out every morning just to get my hair off the bathroom floor. And I said, there is an easier way.
Yes.
You kind of remind me of my husband. I tease him. I say, Lars, if there is a hard way to do something, you're going to find it.
But, you know, it's these little things that were really irritations that I would not take seriously when my husband would have a request. And I would say, oh, that's not important. This is. But I think as Christians, that we need to listen. And we need to be willing to do that as an act of love. And, you know, there is a blessing in doing those things besides that, too, is you kind of start liking that floor clean.
We have to learn to relinquish our preferences at times, don't we?
Yes.
And that's what the intention of unity is about. Mm. When your husband says, would you kindly do this? And you say, well, I don't see why it makes any difference. You already know it makes a difference to him.
Yes.
It's a tiny little thing, but it's extremely significant. Am I here to serve him or am I here to feel comfortable for myself?
Yes.
So the intention of unity and concern for the good of the other person. Those are the two essential ingredients to a lasting marriage.
Yes.
Carry on. Any other little tiny things that you didn't want to do or other ways in which you had to submit to your husband?
The area of working. My husband wanted me to work. I had worked for a major corporation for years, and he was in a position where he was changing a line of business and trying to start what was going to be a livelihood for the rest of his life. And I needed to submit to his authority in that area and to work. And at that point, we had just had a new little baby girl, and I wanted nothing more than to stay home with her. And then that happened again with the second child when we had our boy. And then on the third one, it was God's timing. And in the midst, I think of Habakkuk, when it says there's no figs on the tree, and that passage, yet I will praise thee, because my husband had been growing. He had become a Christian just 2 years prior. And although the business arrangement he was associated with really dissolved at that time, he made the decision to trust God for our provision. And it was right for me to come home.
I hear so many stories from people telling me that they want with all their hearts, they're just longing to stay home and take care of their children, but that it is impossible without two incomes in today's world. On the other hand, I get many letters from people who tell me that they have taken that great leap of faith. Very often it means material sacrifice, doesn't it?
Yes.
But
choices.
What matters most in your life?
Raising those children in a godly home. It is my joy and delight.
How many do you have now? What are their ages now?
They are now 7, 4, and 2. And we are homeschooling.
Homeschooling. Well, that's courageous too, Juana. And we have just about maybe a minute and a half. Could you just give us maybe one little nugget that we can remember about something you've learned through having these children?
That is probably the most difficult thing I've gone through, and that is realizing, again, that wretch that I am, because I'm not patient. People say, oh, you are so patient, and if they only knew. And it's a daily death. And thank the Lord for repentance, for raising our voices and saying, Lord, give me another chance. And knowing that He cleanses us and He will teach us if we look to Him.
You don't come naturally by a gentle and quiet spirit, as
No.
you've told us. I really don't think it comes naturally to any of us. Many's the time I've asked a large audience of women, may I see the hands of those of you who were born with a gentle and quiet spirit? There's never a hand. Never. God knew exactly what He was doing when He told us that as wives we are to have a gentle and quiet spirit. My guest today has been Juana Michaels, who has an amazing story of how God brought her and her husband back together when they just figured that the marriage was a complete washout. You mentioned amazing grace that saved a wretch like you. You found out who the wretch was, didn't you?
Yes, yes. And another just beloved song was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face.
And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Thank you so much, Juana Michaels.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.